Hello everyone, this is Shuang from Anhui, China, and you are listening to Everybody ESL.
Welcome to episode 103 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and I have another good episode for you today. We're going to talk about grammar and vocabulary and small talk and a lot more. You can subscribe to the Everybody ESL podcast at Apple Podcasts, on the Stitcher app, and wherever you find your podcasts. If you like Everybody ESL, leave it a good review so other people can find out about it too. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Okay, let's get on with this episode. The last time we had a vocabulary list was back in episode 100. And in that episode, I told you about all kinds of words for big things, ways to describe things that are very big. So in this episode, I'm going to go in the other direction. I have a list of words for you all about small things. These are all ways to describe things that are small. So, in addition to the most basic words for small things, which are small and little, now you will learn some more interesting words to describe things that are small. And the first word is tiny, T-I-N-Y, tiny. Now, there are other words that come from the word tiny and also mean very small. For instance, there is teeny, T-E-E-N-Y, there's teeny tiny, and there's teeny weeny. Those all sound like little kid words. They sound like a child's words for something that is very small. And here is another child word for things that are very small, but it doesn't come from tiny. The word is itty bitty, I-T-T-Y hyphen B-I-T-T-Y, itty bitty. That's kind of a funny sounding word, I think. When I hear a word like itty-bitty, or teeny-weeny, or teeny-tiny, that makes me think of the way a kid might talk. And the next word that describes something that is small is diminutive. D-I-M-I-N-U-T-I-V-E, diminutive. How about this one? Minute. Minute, M-I-N-U-T-E. It's spelled the same as minute, but it means very small. And maybe the word minute and the word minute are even related. Maybe a minute is called a minute because it is a small piece of an hour. I'm not sure about that, but it's an interesting theory. The next word on our list is miniature. M-I-N-I-A-T-U-R-E, miniature. Now, to me, miniature has a slightly different meaning. It doesn't only mean small or very small. Miniature describes something that is a small version of something else. If you look at a dollhouse, you know, one of those toy houses, a house for kids to play with their dolls in. Well, a dollhouse is going to have lots of little furniture. Now, I think you could call that miniature furniture, because it is a small version of something that's bigger. Or you might see a horse that is a miniature horse. It's a smaller version of a regular-sized horse. And our next word is minuscule. M-I-N-U-S-C-U-L-E, minuscule. Now let me tell you something about minuscule. Many native speakers misspell this word, and I'll tell you why. They misspell it M-I-N-I-S-C-U-L-E, instead of M-I-N-U-S-C-U-L-E. The reason they misspell it, I think, is because minuscule means very small, and so does mini. Mini means small. So I think when many people hear the word minuscule, they're thinking of the word mini. But actually, you can see the word minus inside the word minuscule, M-I-N-U-S. And minus also has to do with small things. When you're talking about math, 6 minus 3, you're talking about making something smaller. You're talking about taking something away from something else. And the last word on our list of words that describe things that are very small is microscopic. M-I-C-R-O-S-C-O-P-E, microscopic. If something is microscopic, it is so small that you need a microscope to see it. That's why we say microscopic, because you need a microscope to see it. You can't see it with only your eye. Sometimes we say your naked eye, meaning you're using only your eye, not your eye and some kind of device or special lens or microscope. Well, those are this episode's vocabulary words, words to describe very small things. For our grammar lesson this episode, we are returning to our series on count and non-count nouns. And this is part 3 in that series. Now, before, I told you the basics of the difference between count nouns and non-count nouns. I described what they are briefly, and I told you something about how we use articles with count nouns and non-count nouns. Now, for part 3, I want to tell you about ways that we combine count nouns and non-count nouns. Do you need a little refresher? Do you need me to remind you about the basic difference between count nouns and non-count nouns? I wouldn't be surprised, because this can get pretty complicated. I think it's hard to understand. It's hard to explain, too. The basic difference between count nouns and non-count nouns is that count nouns are thought of as separate individual units, separate things that can be counted. So, for instance, when it comes to count nouns, I can count boxes, I can count birds, I can count balls. That's how count nouns work. But when it comes to non-count nouns, like sand or salt or coffee, I can't count individual units of those things. I cannot talk about 2 sands or 3 salts or 4 coffees. But we can use count nouns and non-count nouns together to create things that we can count and things that we do think of as separate individual pieces. Let me give you an example. When we talk about coffee, we often talk about a unit of coffee, a cup of coffee, a sip of coffee. So there we see we are using a count noun as a unit, as a way of talking about a certain amount of a non-count noun. A cup of coffee, 2 cups of coffee, 3 cups of coffee, 5 sips of coffee. So we are using cup or sip as a unit so we can count how many units, instead of just talking about how much of a non-count noun we have. Because usually, when we talk about non-count nouns, we cannot talk about how many. Instead, we have to talk about how much. But by using a count noun as a unit, we can now talk about how many. How many cups of coffee did you drink yesterday? How many cups? How many sips of coffee did you try yesterday morning? And getting back to those other non-count nouns I mentioned, sand and salt, they also have their own units that you can use with them. For instance, a grain of sand. That means 1 little piece of sand. One tiny little piece of sand is a grain of sand, G-R-A-I-N. You can also use grain with salt, or you could use a word like pinch, a pinch of salt, P-I-N-C-H. That sort of describes the amount of salt you can pick up between your fingers if you just pinch the salt. You might see a recipe that tells you to add a pinch of salt, just a little amount of salt. Or maybe it says 2 pinches of salt. So when we use count nouns and non-count nouns together, we can count them. You can have 2 grains of sand, or 3 pinches of salt, or 4 cups of coffee. And that is the formula. That is the pattern that this always follows when we combine count nouns and non-count nouns. It is always a count noun of non-count noun. In other words, a cup of coffee, 2 pinches of salt. That's the way you use count nouns and non-count nouns together. Some non-count nouns have special units, have special words that work best for them, like pinch of salt. I don't think you can talk about a pinch of coffee. I don't think you can talk about a pinch of mud. But you could talk about a puddle of mud or a patch of mud. So different non-count nouns go with different count noun units. But the main point here is to show you that count nouns and non-count nouns often work together. Because when we are using non-count nouns, we are talking about how much of something there is. But when we are using count nouns, we are talking about how many. By using them together, you can use count nouns to talk about how many, even when it comes to non-count nouns. I understand this is a complicated topic. If you have any questions about this, please let me know. Maybe I can find a better way of explaining some of these points. I know it's difficult, but if we keep talking about it, I think it will all start to make more sense. Like so many of my discussions or lessons about small talk or social situations, this one has to do with the grocery store. I guess we all spend time in the grocery store, and we have to interact with people there. So it's no surprise that there are many social situations that occur in a grocery store, and you might need to know the correct way to behave or to respond if you're in one of these situations. And here is the grocery store situation I have in mind today. You are at the checkout line, and you have already put all of your groceries on the conveyor belt so that the checker can scan all of your groceries. But then you realize there is something you forgot. You needed to get orange juice, but you forgot. What do you do? All of your things are already on the conveyor belt. You can't just tell the person to stop checking your groceries. Maybe there's a line behind you. Maybe other people are waiting for their turn. So what do you do? I think this one is easy. All you need to do is say to the checker, "Excuse me, I forgot something. I'll be right back." That's it. This is a very common situation in a grocery store, so you will not be the first person who has ever done that. You will not be the first person on that day who has done that. All you need to do is say, "I'm sorry," or "Excuse me, I forgot something. I'll be right back." Or, "I'll be back in a minute." Or, "I'll be back in a second." And then if there is somebody waiting behind you, you could say to them, "Excuse me, I'll be right back," so that they don't worry that they will have to be waiting for a long time. And then, after hurrying to find the orange juice, you grab a bottle of orange juice, you come back to the checkout line. What do you say then? Then you just say, "I'm sorry again," and "Thanks for waiting." And that's it. It's a simple situation, but it can seem a little bit scary if you find yourself caught in that situation especially if you're not sure of the right thing to say. And now it's time for the joke of the week! That's right! The joke of the week! It is time for the joke of the week, a joke that is probably not going to be very funny, but it might tell us something useful or interesting about English. And here is this week's joke. What did the people say when a water bird was flying too low? This is a complicated question. This sounds like a complicated joke. What did the people say when the water bird was flying too low? What did the people say when the water bird was flying too low? Okay, let me just tell you the answer right now. What did the people say when the water bird was flying too low? They said, duck! They said, duck. They said, duck? Do you get it? Do you understand why this is a joke or why it is supposed to be a joke? Well, it's because that word duck, D-U-C-K, means two very different things. The first thing that it means is a kind of a bird, a kind of water bird, the kind of water bird that quacks and walks with a funny waddling walk. That's what we call that way of walking, a waddle, W-A-D-D-L-E. So that's the first meaning of duck. It's a kind of a water bird. But the second meaning of duck means to lower your head, to bend down, to avoid hitting your head on something. If you are walking into a small room or a small structure like a shed in someone's backyard, the doorway might be very low. You might have to duck or duck down in order to get through the door without hitting your head. Or if you are playing a game and you are hiding, you might duck or duck down behind a bush so nobody can see you. So duck means a kind of bird, and it means to crouch or to bend down or to lower your head to avoid hitting something, or I guess to avoid something else hitting your head. For instance, a low-flying water bird. Duck! Quiz time. I have four sentences that I'm going to read, and I want you to write down everything that I say. See how much you can understand. Now, at first, I will read these sentences at a fast speed. I'll read them at a normal, natural conversational speed, and it might be difficult for you to understand everything that I'm saying. But after I have read them at that fast speed, I will read them again much more slowly, and I will explain any interesting or unusual grammar or vocabulary that might come up. I think when I read the sentences at that slower speed, you will have a much easier time understanding them. But challenge yourself. Try to understand them when I read them fast. You can listen to them many times if you like. Okay, well, here we go with sentence number one. At the party, everyone was eating teeny little cakes. At the party, everyone was eating teeny little cakes. Sentence number two. I left my phone in the other room, so I'll be right back. I left my phone in the other room, so I'll be right back. Sentence number three. The old tunnel was so low, I had to duck to go inside. The old tunnel was so low, I had to duck to go inside. Sentence number four. I ordered two bowls of soup and three cups of soda for lunch. I ordered two bowls of soup and three cups of soda for lunch. Okay, well, how was that? Was that too fast? Was it hard to understand everything I was saying and hear all of the words? Well, maybe so, but I think it will be easier when I read them much more slowly, starting with sentence number one. At the party, everyone was eating teeny little cakes. At the party, everyone was eating teeny little cakes. Do you remember that word, teeny? That was on our vocabulary list this episode. It means very small. And sometimes you will hear it combined with little, teeny little. It just emphasizes how small those cakes were. They weren't just little. They weren't just teeny. They were teeny little. Sentence number two. I left my phone in the other room. So I'll be right back. I left my phone in the other room. So I'll be right back. I'll is I apostrophe LL, I'll. That is the shortened or contracted form of I will. I'll be right back is the same as I will be right back. Sentence number three. The old tunnel was so low, I had to duck to go inside. The old tunnel was so low, I had to duck to go inside. Tunnel is T-U-N-N-E-L, and duck is a word that we just talked about in the joke of the week. Duck means to crouch down or to lower your head to avoid hitting something. And sentence number four. I ordered two bowls of soup and three cups of soda for lunch. I ordered two bowls of soup and three cups of soda for lunch. Here we see two examples of that combination of count nouns and non-count nouns that we talked about in this week's grammar lesson. Two bowls of soup and three cups of soda. Well, that is this week's listening quiz. How did you do? And we have reached the end of episode 103 of Everybody ESL. Remember, if you have any questions about English, or if you have comments or suggestions for me about the podcast, or if you would like to record an introduction that I can use at the beginning of future episodes, the same way Shuang recorded the introduction you heard at the beginning of this episode, send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. I'll be back soon with another episode. And until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.